This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway. It's Fan Run Radio and the Top 4 at 4 this afternoon brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the Drive, online at cnbtn.com. Alex Olive in today with the Top 4 at 4.
Number 1, Tennessee leadership, John D. Plowman, Chancellor, and President Randy Boyd talking about their search for an athletic director to replace Philip Fulmer. Today, they said that experience is a requirement for the next Vols AD. This is not the place to try somebody out, Boyd said. This time, we're going to find proven winners.
Okay. That's the right thing to say. Now, you've got to go out there and find it. Now, is Kevin Steele a proven winner? Is Bill O'Brien a proven winner?
Defensive coordinator, he is.
Okay. And his head coaching record, obviously, I mean, that would be his major. He would have had a head coaching opportunity a long time ago if
– had it not been for the Baylor stuff.
Yeah, if it hadn't been for Baylor. If he had just not taken that job, he would have had a much better – like in the – if he had just been a career assistant sometime here in the past 10 years, he would have gotten – he probably would have gotten our job, if not another – SEC or ACC level job.
All right, number 2. Philip Rivers has announced he is retiring from the NFL, ending a 17-year career with the Chargers and his 1 year with the Colts.
Yeah. It's so wild, man, that I mean, 17 years. Well, I remember, as I always associate with him, I remember a friend of mine, Jason Burgess, who I worked with in my very first radio job, actually trained me on how to run a board at the first station I ever worked at. He was a huge NC State fan, and he talked about this guy, Philip Rivers. And I was like, who is this? And so, like, he's been...
I never really cared for him.
He's wrapping up his career. Like, he started his career when I started mine, and he's still playing. That's crazy to me. I feel you, Barry. He was a kind of an unlikable dude, right? Very punchable face.
15 kids.
Yes. Apparently, his wife likes him.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, he's got as many kids as he does years in the NFL.
Is that true? 70 kids, or
hey, you exaggerating? It's like 8.
It's like 11 or something. Eight or nine. Okay.
Yeah, he's got a ton.
That's a lot of kids, man. 8 or 9. Golly.
Give her a year to recover and go again.
Alex.
I've got one, and I don't know whether I'm coming or going. Could you imagine having 8 or 9, Russ?
No. That's absolute insanity to me.
You know, it's nothing to do with the money part, you know. Just thinking about how much that would, just the money.
I just all the times that if you've got like 2 or 3 kids that you find yourself just sitting on it, like hiding, like going to the restroom and just like staying in there for an hour just to – you know, like,
book your phone.
Yeah, go find somewhere and just like turn out the lights and just chill to just get away from everything. Imagine having 8 kids. Like, there's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to go.
He can almost feel the full starting lineup there. Have his own team.
Wow.
Number 3, ex-South Carolina quarterback Ryan Helinski has announced he is transferring to Northwestern.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's...
thought he was going to be pretty good when he started at South Carolina his freshman year.
Yeah, it's strange that it didn't work out for him there. And, you know, I guess what else is strange is he left because it looked like Bobo was going to be retained as the offensive coordinator, and obviously he had passed him over and all that stuff. He was like, well, I'm probably not going to get to play here, so I'll go to put my name in the portal. Meanwhile, Bobo leaves South Carolina. So I figured... he just thinks he needs a new start over, and they had success this year with the transfer, the guy that we beat from Indiana.
Colin Hill?
No, I'm talking about Northwestern.
Oh,
Peyton's. Was it, his name was Peyton, right?
Something Peyton, yeah. Peyton Ramsey.
Ramsey, yeah. He played for Northwestern, so he's out. And the next guy can slide in there, maybe Helinski.
Helinski was pretty good in 2019.
He was, yeah.
He threw for 2,300 yards, 11 touchdowns, 5 interceptions as a true freshman.
As a true freshman, right. So yeah. you thought, man, South Carolina's going to be set. He's going to be a pretty good quarterback.
Kind of surprised.
Didn't work out for him, though.
All right, number four. The coach of the Mexican soccer team Tigres has been handed a one-match ban for smoking during a league game. Photograph captured the Brazilian-born coach smoking a cigarette on the bench during his team's 2-0 league defeat at Santos.
No smoking in the Mexican soccer league. Big no-no.
Hitting the heater.
Not good for you. No, not the right message to be sending in an athletic event where everybody. But
it's Mexico. Let it fly.
Yeah, it used to happen all the time. Famous picture
of this guy for smoking a lung dart.
2021.
Extreme to me.
I mean, what do you think they would do if Jeremy Pruitt stalking the sideline and he's just like, I can't deal with this anymore, just like breaks out a pack of Marlboro Reds, just fires one up right there on the sideline. Starts smoking like the Marlboro Man.
I don't know.
It'd be frowned upon, right? We haven't seen that. The last guy I remember smoking regularly in American sports was Jim Leland. Remember, he's like managing the Tigers or the Pirates, and you see him over there in the dugout taking a drag. And that's been, 20 years ago? Like, you don't see that anymore. It's smoking.
You can still dip. I can see
in baseball? I thought they got rid of that, too.
Did they?
Did they get rid of smokeless tobacco in Major League Baseball?
You might be right.
I believe so.
I think they put a ban on spitting on the field or something, didn't they?
Yeah, but I think they got rid of
COVID. But
I think they got rid of the tobacco beforehand, too.
Mm. Yeah.
But that's still prevalent in football in general. Which is weird because you don't see it. I guess basketball, you're indoors most of the time. But anyway, it's gross. That is the top four at four, brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of The Drive. Check them out online at cnbtn.com. Looking for a mortgage loan? Rates are good right now. Apply local and make that dream home your reality. Let Citizens National Bank find the right mortgage loan for you. They've got competitive rates and various term options. Plus, they're right here in our community to help you finance a new home or refinance your existing home. Find out more online at cnbtn.com. Russell Barron Trey cruising along with you. You're going to be visiting with Blake Topmeyer of your Knoxville News Sentinel. He had the sit-down that Alex was referencing earlier with Dondi Plowman and Randy Boyd, both. Big interview score. And so we'll pick his mind and about what he learned and the feeling coming out of UT this afternoon about the impending coaching search and the current athletics director's search over there on campus. What do we have phone-wise here, Alex?
We got Phil from Wartburg up first.
Philly, what's going on, Phil?
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Look on the Kevin Steele thing first. I think that Rodney Garner was a foregone conclusion whenever they hired the man. You know, I believe it was already said and done. And, you know, that was just part of the deal.
Agreed.
So, you know, I mean, I don't look too much into that. I think it may narrow a little bit because I think they're going to tell somebody when they hire him, you know, you got Kevin Steele, you got Rodney Garner. Take it or leave it.
Well, I feel like there were two modes of thinking. It was a weird thing when they hired Steele. I agree with you. You hire Steele, you think, oh, there's a pretty good chance we're going to get Garner. If Pruitt stays, then basically Steele is Niedermeyer's replacement. Maybe he's the coordinator if Angeli leaves. And, yeah, you bring on Rodney Garner as the defensive line coach. If Steele is the head coach, then, yeah, he's going to bring on Rodney Garner. Or even if, as you're saying, Phil, like you hire – a Jamie Chadwell, somebody like that, maybe they keep Steele as their defensive coordinator, in which case he would most likely, you would think, a pretty good chance they bring on Rodney Garner.
You know, the kid that they promoted, he's probably you know, a shot in the dark to keep the linebackers happy, but, you know, he's probably not making that much money if they do get rid of him. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Trey, I'd be really interested to know what the financial impact of that is. Are they offering Garner a 2-year deal like they did Steele? What about Kevin Simon? Because that just seems to me like why would you offer multi-year contracts to anybody? And I understand time is of the essence. You want to hold the roster together. But if you think there's a pretty good chance that Steele isn't going to be the head coach, why would you let him make positional coach hires with multi-year contracts? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, that's the weird part about it is do you give them 2-year deals? I mean, that's what these coaches are going to want, security. I don't think Tennessee is going to be handing out any 3-year deals. So 2 years is probably what you have to look for. I don't know. It's an interesting equation, but maybe they have to get it done just like they got Steele done, to be honest with you. With Garner,
mm-hmm.
Which I you think know, with
go ahead, Phil.
With Jeremy Pruitt, I just wonder how much money he's planning on getting from Nick Saban if he don't sing on him. So that could be a sticky situation there. Maybe Jeremy or Nick will pay him to shut up.
I cannot imagine that Jeremy Pruitt is going to come out of this thing without at least a 2-year show cause.
Well, if he's too upset, he starts too much, Nick better hope he don't have anything solid on him. He don't seem like somebody that's too level-headed, right? He's upset at everybody.
Yeah. Good stuff, Phil. Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you.
865-546-8200 if you want to get on the G3 Help Me hotline. All right, Vol 63. Mm-hmm. Is next. Hello, Vol. What are you laughing about back there, Alex? You this huge grin on your face. What's so funny?
I'll have to tell you during the break.
Is it like obscene? You can't tell on the air, or you just want to?
It's not necessarily obscene, but I'll explain.
Okay.
You can decide if it's worth talking about.
Okay. Go ahead, Vol 63. Vol 63, are you with us? Come on, man. You can't call in with a name like Vol 63 and then just dead air us. Evidently, you can.
We can go to Geraldo.
Oh, yeah, we can. Geraldo, what's up?
Hello.
Hello.
Live. How are you guys?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing pretty good. I haven't been able to listen to the show yet. Just started listening. So, okay, with this whole Kevin Steele hiring defensive assistants here and there, I would say we need to apply Occam's razor to this situation in the sense of the simplest answer is typically always the right answer. But as we've seen with the last 2 months, Occam's razor does not apply to Tennessee football at all. So, yeah, who knows what this means in terms of is Kevin Steele going to be the interim coach for the next year, maybe 2 years? Is it going to be like a Matt Luke situation, or is it possible are we in contact with a head coach already and we're making moves in the future, which that seems least likely. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that they've already got an agreement with a coach or anything like that, because that would never – that would leak out. We would know about it. But yeah, I don't. It's just so weird. I mean, Trey, what do you think, buddy? Why is Kevin Steele hiring full-time position assistants if he's not going to be the head coach here next year? Do they really have that much money where it just doesn't matter? They hire another coach and buy all three of these new coaches out, and they don't care?
I would be interested to see if there's provisions in their contracts, mm-hmm. but I don't want to jump to conclusions of saying they're making Kevin Steele the interim, but it just, if they're going to, I think it all depends, because if they hire Garner, I think that's a must get because of the offset language in his contract with Auburn at the price they could probably get him for. I think that's something you have to take into consideration when you're looking at Rodney Garner.
Good point.
It's a tad bit confusing, but it's also, I think Donnie Plowman understands that you got a lot of guys wavering over there. You can't be held hostage by football players. Okay. I understand that part, but you've also got to move in some sort of direction. And this is why I wonder how long it's going to take to get an athletic director in place. Hopefully it's done by the weekend, but we'll have to find out.
I was about to ask Trey if he was hearing that it might be done by Friday, because I might have read that somewhere. Could it be done by Friday? And is it someone maybe possibly from UAB?
I think Ingram will get a nice look at this thing. Here's my opinion. If it's done by Friday, then I think they hire Gilbert or they hire Ingram. If it's not done by Friday, maybe this thing drags on, you know, maybe into, I don't know, to next week. But you just never say never on this thing. I mean, they could have somebody they've been talking to for a minute now.
And Russ, am I crazy for feeling like I don't think they're going to hire Gilbert?
No,
I don't see how they can.
Yeah, I feel like they're kind of shouting him down. He just doesn't have an impressive track record. I mean, like, other than
Title IX stuff and
the fact that he's never hired a football coach, his programs aren't necessarily winning. He was here with Dave Hart during Dave Hart's reign of terror. That just
picked Lady Vol faction.
I hope they speak up.
That guy back?
No. I hope they speak up and make their voice heard. I like Mark Ingram. I think Mitch Barnhart deserves a long, serious look. I don't know that he would come, but he's been here before and he's had a successful run up there at Kentucky for a long time now. And I think I would look there and a couple of other places as well. I would do my due diligence for sure. I understand why you consider Gilbert, but that's about as far as it would go for me.
I mean, it would just as a courtesy.
Yeah.
Nothing more.
Anything else, Geraldo?
Nothing else. Thank you, guys. I just want to say that Fan Run Radio, literally the best. You guys are awesome, especially you guys. The drive, I love listening to you guys. You approach it in such a way that, like, even in bad situations, I can't help but laugh. So, like, at least there's that. At least we have you guys. So thank you so much for everything you guys do.
Thank you, Geraldo. He's right. Y'all are pretty lucky to have us. I mean, Trey only saved to the football program. Thank you, Trey. And we're pretty hysterical. Not our style to slap ourselves on the back.
Not us.
It's not about the drive. Thank you, Geraldo. Shout out to the boys over at Volnugs. Volnugs.com. We'll get an update from Bear coming up here in just a little bit. DR Vol is next. Good afternoon, DR Vol.
Good afternoon, guys. I've got a question I've been wondering, and especially I know Russ from you and Bear, especially Bear, a little bit older. What do y'all think was worse that Fulmer had said, the recruiting comment or him comparing Pruitt to Majors? To me, it's got to be the Majors because that was premeditated. He actually thought that was smart to say.
I don't know. I mean, they're both equally tone deaf. The Majors thing was just kind of, I thought it was in poor taste.
Yeah, I feel like the recruiting comment was probably worse because you're up there talking about firing your coach because of his recruiting, And then you say that's the first thing you mentioned when you say it was good, like when you're asked for positives, that doesn't make any sense. That's silly.
Yeah, I mean, and while you're being shown the door at the same time for the recruiting monkey business.
Know the room, huh? And, you know, I'm going to go off to what that guy said, caller before me. I wish this station sucked because I'm just ready to check out after that. What happened last night and the investigation, man. Burn out on this crap.
It's not been a great week. I'll say this, though, man. It's interesting, and we have not been able to jump into this basketball thing as much. I think we might talk a little bit about it more tomorrow. I say that. There will probably be some crazy football news that consumes the entire show. But I still think basketball, the hopes are high there. I still think it's about peaking at the right time. Can't win them all. Last night sucked. Not trying to sugarcoat it, but we'll see where this team goes from here. And as for the football program, like I'll say this. Yeah, we're at an all-time low, but you can't deny it's interesting. I mean, I can't put my phone down for more than a couple minutes at a time without wondering, like, oh, am I missing something? Like, what's going on now?
Yeah, my endorphins are going off. I'm not going to lie, Russ. Like, I heard somebody say it best. This is the best part last 15 years, I guess, of being a Tennessee fan, because right now is when we have the most hope. Like, right now, oh, let's get Kiffin in here and all that, and we know we'll get, you know, Doug Marrone's sister probably, but we can hope.
There's always hope, D.R. Vall. Don't lose it. Don't lose sight of it. It's a lot to live for.
I'm trying not to, guys. I know that I would be completely checked out if it wasn't for the station. Y'all have a good day.
Oh, thanks, man. Y'all are so sweet. Coming up, Blake Topmeyer of the Knoxville News Sentinel. He had the sit-down with Randy Boyd, Donnie Plowman. We'll get his thoughts on that and the state of Tennessee athletics in crisis this afternoon. Blake Topmeyer, your News Sentinel, coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell Baird, Trey back with you. Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Pleased to be joined right now by Blake Topmeyer of your Knoxville News Sentinel on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Good afternoon, Blake. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Just another boring week on the UT Athletics beat, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, you know, one big story is usually enough. Right now we got three big stories to juggle with an investigation, an AD search, and a football coaching search.
No doubt. And you guys had the interview with Randy Boyd and Chancellor Plowman on KnoxNews.com this morning. Your takeaways, obviously, folks are excited. Randy Boyd and Donnie Plowman saying the right things. What did you take away from your conversation?
Well, I think they're looking to avoid the missteps of 2017. I mean, obviously, Plowman and Boyd were not on the job in 2017, but I'm sure they're well aware of the missteps there. And you know, they're clearly trying to take this in a different direction. I mean, both Plowman and Boyd are saying on the job experience is a requirement to either be the athletic director or football coach. You know, no tryouts. You don't get to come in here without experience, which of course is what Tennessee did last time in both its athletic director and its football coach, hiring people that had no experience in either of those roles. And, you know, I think to Donnie Plowman, I think it's going to be very important to have a proven track record of being able to hire coaches. So you need an AD that has shown they can make smart hires, that has shown they can make successful hires. And I also thought it was an interesting comment by Chancellor Plowman to say that they're looking for an athletic director for all of the athletic department, acknowledging how important football is, but not to just be a football AD, to be an athletic director for the whole department. And she didn't mention Philip Fulmer specifically when she talked about that, but it did feel like, you know, kind of a 180 from what Tennessee has had. You know, they had an AD who spent a lot of time going to football practice, who made you know, no bones about it. Getting football back on track was his top priority, and I think Plowman wants an AD who can get football back on track, but she also wants someone that'll be good for the department at large.
Do you get the sense that it's truly a joint effort between Boyd and Plowman do you think one person, one of them, one of the two has more power or say-so in these decisions that are coming up? And are there other voices that you think are playing a prominent role?
Well, I'm sure there are other voices. It's Tennessee, right? There's always going to be other voices. But I think Chancellor Plowman is leading the charge here. And that's not to say Randy Boyd won't have a voice. I think he will. I mean, he was pretty explicit in what he doesn't want. You know, in particular when he's talking about a head coach, he doesn't want someone with a history of violations after they went out there on Monday and said that integrity is important and that they're not going to stand for these violations. So, I mean, I think Randy Boyd would have some say. He could have some veto power, I think. But I think Chancellor Plowman is probably the biggest and most influential voice in this athletic director search. Now, football search, I think that's a different story. I think, you know, as a chancellor, you hire the AD who you trust to then lead the football search. Doesn't mean you don't get a say in that as well. But I think the AD will ultimately, you know, have the biggest voice then in the football search.
Well, it certainly seems like they're going to empower Kevin Steele to a degree here in an effort to keep this thing together. Reports out today that Rodney Garner is indeed going to be coming on soon as a defensive line coach, it looks like, and then promoting Kevin Simon to linebackers coach to try and stable the ship. Of course, most of the offensive coach is still there, except for with no offensive line coach, obviously. How much do you read into that in terms of Kevin Steele and his viability as a candidate for the full-time job?
Well, if they really do allow Kevin Steele to start filling people to two-year contracts left and right here, then that would suggest to me that Kevin Steele has a real shot at landing the job. I mean, I don't see how you can start filling up your coaching staff and then bring in a new football coach and let's say February 1 or first week of February and say, okay, we hired your coach, but here's your staff. You might get to hire a couple assistants, but you know, not the rest of the staff. I don't see that flying. So, you know, if this comes to fruition, that Tennessee would allow Kevin Steele to start filling people on staff left and right, then that would tell me a lot. But of course, we had, you know, last week people making a big deal of Jeremy Pruitt getting on a plane and flying to California, mm-hmm. and oh, Jeremy Pruitt's going to be back as head coach, right? No, that was a red herring. I mean, they can go fly to California all at once. Doesn't mean he's going to be the head coach. So sometimes I think we do have a tendency to, you know, try to read into certain reports or things, you know, happening and think there's more there than there really is. But yes, if Tennessee announces multi-year contracts for multiple assistants, I think that's a pretty good sign that Kevin Steele's got a shot at this.
Blake Topmeyer, your Knoxville News Sentinel with us here this afternoon on The Drive. And Blake, you know, you wrote a piece I read at KnoxNews.com Monday morning before the firing about the finances over there and how it's not good, but it's not as bad as they feared so far due to the COVID losses and everything. Of course, that kind of got lost in the shuffle once Pruitt was fired. But what do you think about the financial aspect of all this? Of course, it looks like they're going to dodge paying Jeremy Pruitt at least his full buyout, if not the entire thing. You hear Randy Boyd say they're going to go big. We're going to hire a proven winner. Do you think they have the money to do that?
Well, I think firing Pruitt for cause and ditching his buyout allows them more opportunity to that, right? I mean, they were going to commit more than $4 million to Jeremy Pruitt next year as it stood, and so you're going to spend that money anyway. Now you can redirect it to a new coach. Now, what is the other piece of it, though, is you are going to have some severance. I mean, you know, Pruitt and two of his assistants got fired for cause, but if you're going to allow a new coach to come in and you know, hire new coordinators, you know, if you're going to get rid of Jim Chaney and Derek Ansley, then you can expect to have some severance there, right? So, I mean, I think you're still probably looking at a few million dollars in severance, but you know, you would think that Tennessee has to know that's coming, right? If they're going to make a coaching change here, they have to know that there's going to be some financial cost to that, no matter how you do it. And it's going to be interesting to see what comes from this Pruitt buyout situation. I don't think he's just going to roll over and say, I guess I won't get any money here. I'll just continue on with life. I mean, you know, I got to think that there's going to be a strong effort from his legal representation to get some money, and we'll see where that goes. You know, I mean, that may not be decided until sometime down the road. I don't think Tennessee has shown any signs that they're going to quickly roll over and say, okay, yeah, you can have your buyout after all. That could be a drawn out affair. And he might get some money in the end, but right now Tennessee's avoiding that upfront cost, and I think that does offer them some wiggle room to go out and pursue a new staff.
Right.
Hey, Blake, it's Trey, and we had a conversation last night about the compensation of Philip Fulmer and his contract. I want to read this statement that I just received while you were on air, and I want to get your live reaction to it. And this is about Philip Fulmer's contract running through December 31st, 2023, and about the paying. Blake, they tell me the details of AD Philip Fulmer's transition have not been finalized. However, we anticipate that when he leaves the athletic director position, he will receive $37,500 per month through December 31st of 2023. Blake, your reaction on that statement and them paying him through the rest of his contract as an athletic director, which he signed for?
Well, I was punching those numbers into my calculator as you were saying them, Trey, and I'll tell you what that adds up to. That adds up to $450,000 a year, which is half of what his annual salary would be. And if you look at his contract, if Philip Fulmer was fired, he would be entitled to half of his salary as severance if he was fired. So what that tells me is Tennessee can say Philip Fulmer was not fired. They can say that Philip Fulmer is retiring, he's standing aside to let the next AD hire the new coach, but yet he's getting paid what equates to his severance rate. $450,000. So those numbers you gave me, that's $450 a year. That's what he would be entitled if they would have told him on Monday morning, Philip, you're fired. Here's a cardboard box. Pack up your things and go home. That's what he would have been entitled to. Now, that's a firing not for cause. If he would have been fired for cause, he would have been entitled to nothing. But Tennessee's been clear all along that this is not a for-cause ouster. But they dubbed it a Phillips decision to stand aside and to step down. And yet, these figures you're telling me, that's a severance. That's what he is entitled if he were to be fired and handed a cardboard box and told to go home.
What do you make of all that? I mean, what are your thoughts on that, how they've worded this now?
Well, it draws into question the idea that Philip stood up and said, hey, everybody, I got an idea. I'm going to stand aside, and I'm going to let a new AD come in, and I'm going to let that person hire the new coach. And that's my idea, and I'm going to retire. Thank you. It's been fun. Adios. That's kind of the narrative that Tennessee wanted you to believe on Monday. I think we all raised an eyebrow at that. Like, really, Philip, for the good of Tennessee, is just going to retire and walk away from all this money on the deal? That doesn't make sense. And so, you know, I think what this tells us is that there was an agreement reached, obviously, that he was going to stand aside, and as part of that agreement, he was going to get paid his severance that he's entitled to in his contract.
Where do we go forward from here when it comes to the AD search over the next few days, buddy? How do you think this thing plays out? I know the names that we hear, you know, the money situation at Tennessee. Do you see them being able to offer the same kind of money that they offered Philip Fulmer when he first signed his contract?
I think so. You know, I think the AD money isn't crippling by any means. I mean, you look at this severance, we're looking at, you know, like I said, $450,000 a year. Which sounds to folks like you and me, that's a lot of money, right? To an athletic department, even one that stands to lose tens of millions during this fiscal year. I mean, that's not nothing, but $500,000 in the grand scheme of an athletic department is not something that you can't overcome. And Philip Fulmer was making $900,000 as an AD. That's not crazy money. I would say that's probably actually below market rate. I don't have all the research in front of me, but I think that's probably below market rate for an SEC athletic director. And I would suspect for Tennessee to really get a high level AD into this job, someone that's sitting at a pretty good post right now, it could take seven figures. I mean, I'd be surprised if you're able to get a sitting AD in here, with strong qualifications for less than close to about $1 million. And so certainly your financial commitment to that position is going to increase because you have this severance to Philip Fulmer to deal with as well. But I don't think that's crippling financially. I think they can manage in that sphere.
Let's talk about, I want to move on to, your interview with them. I'm interested to know your take on how this is going to expand, not to just football. And I know when you and Russell kind of talked about it for a minute too, we had Tony Vitello on last week. And when I was talking to Tony Vitello that night, he was talking about, how they had, a sit down with Philip Fulmer and Reed Sigmund to talk about the future of the baseball program and getting money for what they need. So I guess talking about all sports here, is this going to be something where they look at an athletic director, in your opinion, that, and I know that they said it won't be football centric kind of in a way, but is this going to be a person they know that they can rely on for the next some odd years to be able to build up and get money for the baseball program? To be able to redo Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Like, do you think this is a part of the process, or is it all about getting football on their feet first?
I think it's about getting someone who can hire a good football coach. But no, I think that other piece is going to be pretty important, Trey, because, I think it was clear in the chancellor meeting with the other head coaches yesterday morning that I think, those head coaches gave her a message of we want an AD that is good for the entire athletic department. And the chancellor said, she wants an AD who is good getting out in front of the people, who's bringing people together. And that's not all just like, PR jargon. I think what comes from some of that, yes, is fostering good relations in the fan base and what have you. But that also means donations, right? I think going out and being a face in the Vol community, part of that is donations and getting money flowing into your athletic department. And I don't think that was something that came naturally to Philip Fulmer. He was used to being a public face. He was used to being, someone who people recognized, but, Philip Fulmer was used to making a lot of money during his career. He wasn't used to, getting a lot of money in donations, raising money. He wasn't a fundraiser. He was a football coach and was highly paid for it. That's an all to get together different endeavor than being an AD who has a skill at fundraising. I think that's a component of this is finding someone who has some chops as a fundraiser. But not only that, I think they really want and the chancellor stressed this, they want a forward thinker who is prepared to take Tennessee into the next era of college athletics. Not someone who has a foot in the past, but someone who is prepared to lead Tennessee during this evolving landscape that we have in NCAA sports. Changes coming to name, image, and likeness legislation. Changes coming, with the transfer landscape. Changes coming also with what the modern-day fan expects in their stadium experience. I mean, let's not forget, we got this Neyland Stadium project that's been on hold for like a lifetime now, it seems like, right? So I think that's going to be a big task for the next athletic director too, is getting the funding to take that stadium project out of neutral and get it moving toward completion, but also to do it in a way that helps appeal to the modern day fan.
Blake Topmeyer, Knoxville News Sentinel. Check him out online at knoxnews.com. Blake, thanks for lending us your expertise. We appreciate the time.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Blake Topmeyer making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive. We got to take a quick timeout. Stay with us. We're coming right back to the phones, your phone calls, when we continue next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Apex.
Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Blake Topmeyer, Knoxville News Sentinel. Bear, what did you learn?
The part that interested me the most was the stuff about Fulmer and that his payout basically matches what his severance would be in his contract.
I've gone back and looked at that now, too.
Trey, you just tweeted. You got a response from the university about Philip Fulmer, his compensation. Now, if he's retiring, like they made it sound the other day, then I don't know about you. Most die like if I retire, Fan Run Radio is not going to pay me for the length of the contract. They're like, I'm stepping away. That's voluntarily. That's my decision, right? Now, if I had a contract with 2 years left on it and they fired me, then theoretically I would be owed the rest of the money on that contract.
Well, technically it's 3 years,
exactly.
Correct? $1.35 million. I timed the announced 37,500 times 36 months, and that's the figure it came to.
Through the end of 2023, so yeah, 3 years.
It's 3 years, so it's actually, that's where the 1.35 million. God. I just times 37,500 times three times 36
it's
months,
multiplied,
and that's the
Trey.
Figure.
But yeah, what?
Watch your mouth.
So he got,
what
he got fired.
He's getting. Hold on, Fulmer, according to the university, will be paid $37,500 per month through December 31st, 2023. So if he's done at the end of this month or next month, whenever, here in the next couple of whenever, he will be getting $37,500 per month
to not be here
for 3 years. At a time when, wait, oh my God, we got to tighten our belts. Oh, please send in your money. Please keep buying your tickets. We're laying all these people off. We're doing furloughs. We're doing this, that. We can't build anything. Can't build Tony Vitello a baseball stadium anymore. We can't do anything. We don't have any money. And this guy who paints himself a true volunteer, who wants to ask everybody to keep giving, give until it hurts, who wants to tell us all how badly they're hurting over there and how much COVID has thrown a monkey wrench into their financial equations, is going to take $37,000 a month for the next 3 years. Are you for a man who's already wealthy? Are you
from
kidding me? Are you kidding me?
18.5.
That is obscene. That's gross, man. That is just disgusting.
I'm looking at his contract right now, guys. If any time during the term, the university may elect to terminate this agreement without cause upon written notice to Fulmer. Here it is. If the university terminates this agreement without cause prior to December 31st, 2023, then the university shall pay Fulmer's separation payment in the amount of 50% of the aggregate base pay and supplemental pay that Fulmer would have earned under his agreement till 2023.
Philip Fulmer, if you're listening, you probably don't have anything better to do. I know what some of your friends are listening. You should be ashamed of yourself, man. That's disgusting. Okay, I get it. He's fired their saving face over there. I understand. Why go through all the false praise and genuflecting before Coach Fulmer up there on Monday, and
Tennessee every couple of weeks.
Tennessee loves you back. Why was he up there? Why go through that? What is the point of all that? If you fired him,
more stupid.
This place, man.
It's really frustrating for a guy like me who just spent an entire paycheck on tuition last night.
This place, man. It is unbelievable.
It's like Russa. It's absolutely obscene. I mean, know your room. I mean, it's, you know.
I anticipate getting an email the day after I graduate asking me for money.
I mean, I don't know about all that. I can't get past the fact that you turn on TV and chances are you can find a channel where they're showing people in this country, a lot of people in their cars in line to get food so they can feed their families. It's just,
well, okay. So they're firing, Philip Fulmer for this big cheating scandal, and they fired some recruiting staffers. By the way, those recruiting staffers make, guess how much money those folks make? Those, some of them very young. They make 50 grand a year.
Yeah.
Do you think they are getting severance pay on the way out the door?
No.
So the people, the little people who are out of work now, whose careers are ruined, get nothing on the way out the door, and maybe they're not entitled to anything. I'm not necessarily saying that they are. But the guy who oversaw the entire operation, the guy who is in charge of it, it's under his name, the man who is responsible for Tennessee being in the position, is going to get $37,000 a month. The man who's already a multimillionaire. House paid off, big house in Maryville paid off, 70 years old. Already drawing out the IRAs, the 401ks, the whatever. Medicare, Social Security, he's already, that guy gets 37 grand a month for 3 years in the time of COVID.
Don't forget the 150 retention bonus he just got as well.
That is outrageous, dude. That is just
a
damn joke.
Hold on just a second. He got his retention bonus?
Yeah, it's in his contract. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He stayed past December 31st.
Yeah.
That's gross, man. That I'm just disgusted even seeing that.
I mean, that makes me want to spit. Interesting thing.
Super emotional. Like after a loss, I get like, we lost the game, mad. It goes away. Like I'm genuinely disgusted, man. This place.
And that came from the university. And they said, however we anticipate that when he leaves the athletic director position, he will receive $37,500 per month. So that goes back to what me and Blake were talking about. They fired him. They asked him to leave.
Then why go with the Kabuki Theater Monday?
See, that's what I don't get. Because if it wasn't a firing, they would have to owe him the full amount. And the fact that they came up with this number. And look, this just didn't off from a whim. I asked them this. I sent them this email yesterday around noon. So they've had time to, go over these figures.
Stay with us. Hour number 3 of The Drive coming up. Alex will have the top 5 at 5 after this.